The 66th chapter of Isaiah once again. Verse 1. Thus says the Lord, Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. He who kills a bull, as if he slays a man, he who sacrifices a lamb, as if he breaks a dog's neck. He who offers a grain offering, as if he offers swine's blood. He who burns incense, as if he blesses an idol. Just as they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delights in their abominations, so will I choose their delusions, and bring their fears on them. Because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. And they did evil before my eyes and chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word, your brethren who hated you, who cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified that we may see your joy, but they shall be ashamed. The sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Amen. Let's consider those two final verses there from this chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah is a great book. There is lots of wonderful truth to be found there in it. And this chapter is also rather wonderful as well. And yet, it's not all sweetness and light. There is judgment here pronounced. And when I looked at the first couple of verses, there is something of a rebuke for those who seek the temple, but not the God of the temple. In verses 3 and 4, there is a rebuke for those who carelessly, nonchalantly, insincerely offer sacrificial worship, but refuse to hear God's voice, to whom they are allegedly offering that worship. And then we come to these two verses as well, which are rather strange, it must be said. And there is an invitation, a command at the beginning of verse 5 to hear the word of the Lord. Now we know from the previous verse that some, even though God called, did not answer. Even when he spoke, they did not hear. And yet in verse 5, God continues speaking. He's speaking in particular to those who tremble at his word, and of course that phrase is used at the end of verse 2. In other words, even with ancient Israel at the time of Isaiah, there were two types of Israelite. There were those who worshipped sincerely, and there were those who did not. There were those who heard God's voice, and there were those who did not and would not. This word is addressed to those who will hear, to those who will listen, but more than that, to those who will tremble at his word. And I remember a few weeks ago when we looked at that phrase, I said, well, what does it mean to tremble at God's word? It means to believe it. It means to be affected by it. It means to read it and apply it. And we know that the God of the Bible, who hates sin and promises judgment to this earth, is one before whom any man or woman in their rightful mind would tremble. And when he speaks, we stop what we are doing and we give heed and we pay attention. Many, we know, have not been doing that. Many in our day don't do it either. But to those who do hear the word of the Lord and to tremble, a word now is coming for them. God is now speaking to his faithful remnant. In fact, he addresses a situation which they have clearly suffered. Evidently, in Israel at the time of Isaiah, you've got one group of people, quite possibly the majority, and another group of people, possibly a minority, who are faithful to God. The minority is faithful, and the crowd, the majority, are not. Oh, they offer sacrifice at the temple, but they don't mean it. They may as well be offering swine's blood or breaking dogs' necks, for what it's worth. And the insincere worshippers have persecuted, looked down upon, and cast out those who do tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you, the people who are doing the hating here, they're not Assyrians or Babylonians or Egyptians. They're the fellow Israelites. Your brethren who hated you. There is a remnant, a faithful remnant of God's people here in Israel who are hated by the rest. Now, why would one Israelite hate another? And this hatred manifests itself in their being cast out. What does that mean? Possibly cast out from temple worship, cast out from fellowship, cast out from being popular, cast out from being respected, cast out for his name's sake. In other words, these people made a stand for God that made them deeply unpopular among their fellow Israelites. And those who are casting them out, the wicked and the insincere, are here quoted. We are afforded a glimpse of what has upset them. Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy. Now, taken at face value, one might think, goodness, these people are very pious. They want to see the Lord glorified. But almost certainly, it is spoken in sarcasm. If they were so keen on glorifying the Lord, they would not cast out those for his name's sake. And it would seem that the godly minority are being persecuted because they are saying, our joy comes when God is glorified. That is how we derive our pleasure. That's how we derive our satisfaction. We don't get satisfaction just by carelessly offering sacrifice or being a part of this nation or attending a temple or having a great social life. God's glory is our joy. And the true believer will always derive his true pleasure and his true satisfaction by giving glory to God and never glory to self. And these hateful brethren have cast them out because they must consider them over the top or enthusiasts, or they're taking their religion too seriously. And it might be that in the day in which they live, they are not known for their joy. Because Isaiah is clearly writing in and for a time which is characterized by apostasy and compromise. And when there is apostasy, and when there is compromise, and where there is false teaching, the true believer derives no joy or satisfaction. The charlatan, the quack, the wolf relishes it. But the true believer derives no joy when he sees the glory of God being sold so cheaply. And God says, but they shall be ashamed. It's more important to be part of a small group, even if it's a small group of one, and be faithful to God and be faithful to his words, than part of a large crowd which glorifies God not. Right now, these people are disfellowshipped, they are mocked, they are put out, but the Lord says, but they shall be ashamed. The next verse says, the sound of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who fully repays his enemies. Now, this is something of a battle cry. God might not be seen to act, but he will. He may not speak often, but when he does, he will be heard. And although he called and was ignored in verse 4, in verse 6, this great sound of noise from the city, this voice from the temple will not be ignored or sidetracked. The Lord was coming in vengeance. And we know historically that the Lord raised up pagan Babylon that destroyed that temple and carried off those people. And people were talking peace and safety and didn't think it would happen. Here is the temple of the Lord, here is the temple of the Lord. But it did happen. Likewise, in our own day, we expect not the Babylonians to come, but rather, we are anticipating the judgment of our God. And it might be that in our own lives, there are those who look down on you because of your faith in Jesus Christ. You refuse to wear a glib smile because you want to glorify God. And that alone is your pleasure. That alone is your joy. That alone is your ambition. But the message of the Lord here is that he will vindicate his own. He will justify those who seek to glorify him, though they be a minority and sidelined and ignored. The righteous God whom they serve and in whose glorification they delight will not put them to shame. Amen.